are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles and desert oases. Pleasant as home is, it isn't what Rome is, so why stay there when there are so many...
Welcome back, I'm Michael Ray. You are listening to Thought-Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark.
Why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio just be only names to you and me? I feel certain there's people we'd be glad to know there. So tell me, why don't we get up and just go there? Go to those fabulous places.
Catherine Friedland with us. She is the author of Navigating Your Way to Business Success, An Entrepreneur's Journey. And she, after 7 years of working with federal government agencies, being passed over for a much-deserved promotion, was a blessing in disguise because it happens to the best of us, propelling her to finally allow her career to take a new direction, and she began to focus on growing her new company. And in 1993, she started RG2 Technologies, Inc., an information technology systems integration and engineering solutions company, and there she is today, and she's been a very successful entrepreneur. She was named the Minority Small Business Person of the Year by the Small Business Administration. And in 1999, Black Enterprise Magazine named RG, I think that's the second, we'll ask her, as their Emerging Company of the Year. And let us say, Catherine, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Oh, did I say that right? Was it RG the second or RG2?
It's RG2, just like you said it the first time.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure I got it. Yeah, Catherine, today when we talk about entrepreneurs, there are a lot of people that are forced into it. They'll lose a job. And in the old days, you could get upset and say, okay, I'm going to do something about this and go out and do it. There are people forced into it now. And they're frightened to death because there's no one to hold their hand and say, this is how you do it. What's the one thing we can say to an entrepreneur out there or one that wants to be, that it's okay and you can make it?
Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right, Michael. Entrepreneurs come out of either a circumstance that happened to them or there's an opportunity that presents itself. And the advice that I give to entrepreneurs all the time and is, you know, reinvent yourself. And if you have a setback, turn that setback into a comeback, you know, by identifying what talent do you have that you could possibly turn into a business opportunity. And so we try to encourage, you know, all of those who may be thinking about entrepreneurship, maybe have thought about it in the past or what have you, to go for it. Don't limit yourself in holding yourself back. That there are so many opportunities out there. You just have to have the courage in order to step out.
And it is courage. And there are so many people today that are taking that step, and it's working. But, you know, you take the first step, you step out. But then business today, Catherine, is not like business was 5 and 10 and 15 years ago. There's other pitfalls, there's challenges, there's roadblocks that we have created, that we have created as a country, we've created it today, that the new, fresh entrepreneur has to know about.
That's absolutely right, Michael. The downturn in our economy, you know, is one of the primary challenges that people face today, losing jobs, finding themselves out of work, oftentimes for the very first time. And, you know, so being a small business owner or beginning to think about entrepreneurship, this is a great opportunity to do so. Again, it's a great opportunity. And so we have to, you know, take a look at where are the opportunities and then how do we identify those opportunities and turn them into something very lucrative that could actually turn into, you know, like I said before, a strong business opportunity.
And what's going on today, which is very interesting, we talk about a 10-point-something-something unemployment is a good word.
unemployment.
But what about the 85-90% of the people that are employed out there, which means one thing, there is still money out there. Just because the economy has taken a downturn and there's been a tremendous amount of people that have lost jobs, it does not mean that the cash has stopped.
That's right. There are many sources of cash available, but again, that's, again, one of the biggest challenges that a lot of small businesses or people are thinking about becoming business owners face is how do I find the capital? Where is it? And you really do have to know how to navigate around finding the capital. There are a lot of small community banks. There are a lot of large banks that are interested in investing in small businesses. And of course, there's all the other sources that family and friends and investors and angel investors and all of that we can also tap into. But the money is there. You just have to know where to find it. And there's a lot of sources available in order to help you to do that.
Yeah, and the computer age today, there are people who can go home, sit down behind their computer, and be on the same playing field as some of the major businesses. There are so many opportunities today if you know which door to open and, more important, once you step through the door, what to do.
Yes, absolutely. You're right, Michael. And when we started my company, the internet was very new. It was just becoming of age in the very early 90s.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, you're absolutely right. You can be right there in a moment's notice, right with the click of a button on the laptop there, and you have a wealth of information right at your fingertips. So it really does require diligence on the part of the person who is looking to step out there. And the information is there. It's just a matter of doing your homework and doing your research to find it.
Yeah, and how powerful the internet has become today. In the old days, you went to work, you punched in at 9 o'clock, you left at 5 o'clock, you worked 5 days a week, and that was it. And you did whatever you had to do during that time period. Now, today, the way things are set, you can go out and lay on the beach all day long, and if you got your iPod and your whatever with you, you can still accomplish the same thing that you would have sitting behind the desk. So it's an entirely different ball game, and it's a brand new learning process.
Yes, I agree with you. I never leave home without my BlackBerry, so I'm always connected.
Yeah. Wait, didn't we see you driving down the street with it the other day?
No, you did not see me driving down the street with my BlackBerry.
Okay, but it's so important and so critical. And these are some of the most wonderful tools in the world if they're used in the right way.
Absolutely. And, technology is the wave of the future, and there are many, many opportunities out there for us to utilize it to our benefit. And, tapping into the resources that are available and using those resources to get you to where you want to go. That's one of the keys to success.
Okay, I pick up Navigating Your Way to Business Success, The Entrepreneur's Journey. That's about you, but, not even but, the word but presupposes everything that came before it. In addition to that, how do I live through your story? How do I see what I can do through you?
Well, Michael, when I decided to write this book, I wanted to really be able to inspire other entrepreneurs, those that are thinking about it, those that are current entrepreneurs, those that are even studying in school. How do I inspire those individuals to take a step of faith, to leap outside of their comfort zone, and to really begin to think about entrepreneurship as a career alternative? And that's really what the book is about. It really shows the journey that I took over the course of a 17-year period and taking my destiny, for the most part, into my own hands and identifying what I could do to support me and my family that was outside of going to work for someone else 9 to 5, but I can invest in myself. That's what we all do every day when we go to work for other people. We rely upon others, for our support.
Sure.
Let's rely upon our own selves, and that's what entrepreneurship is all about.
Well, it's called responsibility. I think a lot of the kids today don't quite understand what that word is. But what I like about being an entrepreneur, especially if you're going to do something in the internet, that doesn't mean that you can't be an entrepreneur in the brick-and-mortar world. But what we've had in business today transcends gender, transcends ethnicity, transcends whatever the case may be. And geographical locations, somebody can be sitting in their home in a very inexpensive house with a computer and be dealing globally.
Okay.
So if you have what it takes to do it inside of you, man, there's no stopping today.
Oh, absolutely. It starts with what I always say, you got to have not only courage, but you have to have discipline. There has to be that passion for what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And most of all, you have to have vision. Because, if we have no vision, we perish. And so, having that vision for what it is we want to accomplish, and then, as you said earlier, utilizing the resources that are available to us in order to turn that vision into a reality.
There is a woman by the name of Dr. Taffy Wagner. Taffy's been on the show a couple of times. I probably haven't talked to her in 2 or 3 years. But what she did was she wrote a few books, and she helped people come out of debt. That's where she was really strong. And when she would get into a crowd, she would say, what's the first thing that you do to get out of debt? And you'd hear people, you know, tear up your credit card, spend less money, you know, buy the cheapest and whatever. And she let everybody give all their answers. And what Taffy would normally say, she'd look at the audience and say, no, you have to see what it's like for you to be out of debt. That's the vision.
It's so compelling. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's really the first step. If you can't see it, if you can't imagine it, if you don't have that image in your mind, you're never going to find it.
That's right. Oftentimes, I used to say to my employees, you know, if you don't plan and have a vision for how you're going to get there, how will you know once you arrive?
Yeah. No, very interesting. It's like the old saying with advertising. You've got this great party going and nobody shows up. Well, maybe you forgot to send out invitations. Just a little thing. But your own competitive edge, how did you find that? You know, obviously, other people were doing pretty much what you do, but yet you were just that different, unique enough to excel with it. Where was that competitive edge? How did you find your own uniqueness?
Well, you know, I had to, you know, first try to find what I call my niche. You know, where was I going to fit? You know, and there was a lot of companies doing exactly the same types of things that I was doing. Supporting the federal government was my market. And as you know, with the federal government, there is a plethora of companies doing the exact same thing, you know, all throughout. Sure. But I needed to try to find out what was going to be my niche and what was going to separate me apart from my competition. And so I looked at what could I consider my discriminators, you know, those things that make me better than the rest. And, you know, I really tried to begin to look within myself to say, how will I be able to stand out? Will it be with how I interact with my customers? Will it be how I treat my employees? Will I operate with honesty and with integrity? And I dare say that operating with integrity, honesty, and integrity every single day that we open our doors, I believe really helped us as a small business in particular, and one run by a woman in specifically, really did sustain us for the long term.
But
those are the key things, I believe.
But go beyond that. How when you're offering to the government, what was different about the offering to the government? And the end result, if nobody could see who worked for you, nobody walked in the door, and if it was all done, what was that offering that caused you to be just enough different to have the government say, I want you, instead of the person down the street?
Bringing solutions and not excuses.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Identifying and helping the government identify for themselves what were the problems that they were having, and then help them to create the solution that will lead them to their overall success of their mission. And we were able to work hands-on, one-on-one with them to understand and really get into their heads, and then not only help them provide the solution, but then again help them to monitor the progress that they were making over time as they begin to implement that solution. It may sound, you know, something very simple, but really it really goes a long way when the CEO of the company can walk into the customer's office and say, hey, this is what we're going to be providing to you, and you have my full commitment behind and standing behind, you know, our solution. And it really does. It really helped us, you know, maintain our status in the light of our customers as a value-added partner with them.
By the way, Catherine, there's power in the word simple. And I think what happens with most companies, it's like the forest to the trees. You don't see it. They don't see the opportunities that have been sitting in front of them. And sometimes it takes somebody else to walk in and look and see what you don't see.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's that KISS principle, you know?
Yeah,
Keep it simple.
Absolutely. Was that keep it simple because somebody will yell at us. but that's really what it is. And that's where we stand out from other people, when you can get right to the heart of the matter and you have the solution to fix their problem. And I think the majority of people out there that are marketing today, they're not on target with what the real problem is. So how do you match a solution if you don't know what the problem is and you wonder why nobody's buying from you?
Well, you know, oftentimes it's because we're talking so much and we're not listening, you know, to what the customer is saying.
Sure.
So what I try to do is, like, let's listen first and then we speak. And in order to be able to tell the customer, well, have you considered this? Let us, you know, propose this to you, and this is the way by which we can solve that problem. It's the hearing and the listening piece that really comes into play, you know, for long-term, I think, relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just about running out of time. Do you have a website we can find you at?
I do. You can reach me online at An Entrepreneur's Journey, which is the subtitle of the book. So it's A-N entrepreneurs with an S journey.com. The book is out there. You can get it online at Amazon, Borders, Barnes, all of the local chains.
Wonderful. Hey, Catherine Freeland, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
And the only heart I own for you and you alone. That's all. That's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all. That's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you.